This is Cave Scott Allen of otico.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from lazycoder.com.
All right, we are at NDC Oslo, and I'm talking to Sean and Phil Trelford. And so, Sean, first of all, how old are you?
8 years old.
That is awesome. And yesterday you gave a lightning talk, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you talk about?
Composing 3D objects and making the 3D map.
Okay. And how on earth did you learn about all that stuff?
From Thomas Petricat.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what did you talk about? I mean, you told me the title, but can you describe what you were talking about?
Making hats and faces and stuff.
Ah, okay. And so is this a lot of code you're writing or just a little bit?
Oh, it's just medium.
Okay. And did you write code when you were talking on stage, or did you kind of have slides? See, I'm chicken when I talk. I mostly just show slides.
I did live coding.
You did live coding. You are way ahead of me then. Were you worried about maybe typing something wrong?
No.
Not at all? Okay. So you'd practiced a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm giving you the softball questions. Now tell me a little bit. Can you blow my mind a little bit about like what was interesting about your code?
Making an army with my 3D man that I made.
Wow. You made an army out of one 3D man?
Yeah.
So you copied him around all over the place?
Yeah.
Okay. And, so you're doing this in F#.
Yeah, F# and with OpenGL with F#.
Okay. And how is that? How do you call OpenGL with F#? Is that difficult to do?
I'll jump in.
Yeah,
it's really easy. For the live demo, Sean used a domain-specific language.
Oh.
Specifically for calling OpenGL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that like a NuGet package or just a library or something?
Just a small library. It's about 50 lines of code.
Wow.
But you have things like .cube, right?
Yeah.
And do you want to tell some of the other things you can do with it?
Well, you can, do fun.cube and then, do the size of it and fun.translate, I think.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so you can do 3D transformations. You can color the images. You can even, say, add a web camera surface to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you created an army man.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of work to write that all in code. Did you use something to design the army man or something first?
No.
Wow. So you wrote everything. You just said, oh, his head's too big and made it smaller and
just
kind of made it work. Wow. That's cool.
So he was live coding and F# has a REPL, which we call F# Interactive, which means that we don't need to compile and run. So while Sean was live coding, all he did was compose it, make the head as a sphere or with a color, and he would be immediately able to show that in the window. So you made all of the component parts, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end, use functional composition to compose all of those, each item, the arms, the legs, the hands, into the man. And then from there, you could use functional composition and aggregation to generate the army.
Wow. And so you've got the REPL, so you can see, you're typing your code and you see the output. How do you see the graphical output? Do you have just another window up?
It just creates a window.
Oh, okay. So
on the right-hand side, we had the 3D window, and on the left-hand side, the code.
Is F# your first computer language?
No, Small Basic.
Small Basic. How did you find it moving from Small Basic to F#? Was it a lot harder? I learned in Basic.
Same.
I remember when I learned in Basic, it was, and then I moved to other languages like C# or JavaScript. I had to be more careful with things like, where do I put, I need a semicolon and I need parentheses, a little bit But you
we don't have
There you go. That's a great, interesting...
And you don't need to do... There's no public static void main. You just write the code and you get the result. So it's much more natural for beginners, I think.
Yeah.
That's great.
As a language. I don't know if Sean's memory goes back that far, but we were working in small BASIC, and Sean had made like a 2D world. He made a house and a tree and stuff. And what he asked me next was, "Daddy, I want to make a series of houses. I want like a town, and with different sizes." And small BASIC has no functions. With parameters. So we'd made this function, but we couldn't parameterize it. We couldn't return the result.
Right.
So at that point, we copied the code up out of small BASIC and pushed it into F#.
Okay.
And we just changed it around a bit.
Copied the code from one to the other.
Wow. Yeah, and then we just changed it around a bit. And you can include the small BASIC library, which is awesome. It's a beautiful library.
Wow. Okay.
It's a .NET library for constructing 2D shapes without having to know what threads are. And it's got WPF underneath it, but no threading needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we copied that in, and Sean was then able to parameterize it, and we were actually able to get stuff done. That's where we ended up having to go to F# a lot earlier, but I didn't want him to start with global variables.
Right. Okay.
That just seemed wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to start on those. Then it's a bad habit to start early in your life. It's these global variables.
So what Sean's been helping with me recently is last year we rewrote Small BASIC
and called it Fun BASIC.
Wow.
And we've
rewrote Small BASIC.
Yeah, and it's available in the Windows Store.
Okay.
So you just click on Fun BASIC, and you've got an IDE with IntelliSense, code completion, all of those things. And you've got Small BASIC with all the backward compatibility over all the Small BASIC games, but you've got functions with arguments, and you've got tuples and pattern matching.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's games on it.
There's games for it. Wow.
And physics simulations.
Yeah.
So you can actually get stuff done.
Wow.
With Small BASIC, a little more advanced stuff.
Okay, Fun BASIC then.
Functions.
Yeah.
It also supports GoTo. Because that was that's a feature.
That's helpful.
In the original.
So what's next for you? What sort of programs are you interested in writing or projects?
Don't know.
Well, the last thing we did, we went to a game jam together. Uh-huh.
We made a whole game, and all of the thing was made out of circles.
It was all circles?
Yeah.
And what was the game? Like, what did you do in the game?
You have to, jump on clouds all the way to the top.
Oh, yeah.
So a platform game.
Yeah. So like a 2D,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And we did it in F# Interactive, didn't we?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard about F# being a good game language, but it sounds like it's pretty good for that kind of thing. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the REPL environment's huge because you can get stuff done quickly.
Yeah.
There's a talk, one of the speakers here, Andrea Magnorsky. She's actually an indie games developer developing games for Steam.
Okay.
And she does all the gameplay elements in F#.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so I had one other question is, there's an IoT, there's like a lab where you can play with like computer parts and hook things up and make lights blink and stuff like that. Have you done any things with that? Have you done any kind of...
No.
Does that sound fun to you or...
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I partly ask because a lot of the time people will... When they want kids to get excited about programming, they'll say, play with robots and play with stuff. But games, I think, are kind of more fun. I always wanted to write a game when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah?
Yeah, Sean's always loves working with games. He loves playing games. You make game videos as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of
on
games?
On YouTube.
Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft.
So he has subscribe to his Minecraft YouTube channel if you want to. That's Crazy Dyson, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've only made one video.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, you've got
Okay. Now people are going to want to see. Now you got to make more of them.
It's have because you thought? I started on the PS3, but my PS3 has moved to my room, but the capture card is now downstairs with my new PS4.
Well, what about making a video about writing a computer program? Or a game? I don't know.
Yeah,
I would
that
watch
sounds
it.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. How I make games.
Yeah.
That could be.
And we can do like a timeline of your games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, it's how I started in games as a kid. I started writing video
games.
Did you
make a game? Which was your first game?
My first game was, I've got it on my web blog, was when I was 11, and it was a Scramble clone called Horizontal. I'd actually resurrected the source code off a tape, and you can actually play it on the VIC-20 emulator. But my first commercial game wasn't until I was 14. So, and that was Flint Eastwood, which you've played.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We got out an Amstrad CPC, and Sean did a bit of coding on it. But then I got out one of my old discs, and there were my two boys playing a game I'd written 30 years ago. And it just worked. There were no Windows updates. We just put the disc in, and off we go.
I liked that game.
Which one do you like? There was Morph as well. Did you like Flint Eastwood or Morph more?
I don't know. I think Flint Eastwood.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. One last question. Is this your first time in Oslo?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah. I absolutely love it.
Oh, great. And is this your first computer conference you've been to?
Yeah, I think this is the first kind of speaky conference for him. He's come to a few game jams with me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's done a couple of talks at user groups before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, at Skills Matter and the Computing History Museum in Cambridge.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm out of questions. Is there anything else you want to talk about or encourage kids that want to get started in programming or anything?
I don't know.
I would say, you know, any age is a good age, right?
And you're never too young to start coding.
We don't spend an awful lot of time doing code. He's got a lot of other hobbies like playing football and guitar and stuff. But you know, just have fun with it, right? You know, just do it when you feel like it. The hour of code thing, that's actually really good for kids. Sean had a lot of fun with that. You know, there's lots of little games to play in that.
Yeah.
So that was fun, wasn't it?
Buy the rest.
Yeah, that was a bit sleazy.
Yeah.
But it's a nice starting point. If somebody's wanting to bring their kid in to playing, as a parent, you wouldn't probably even need to know about programming.
Oh.
And your kids can get a head start. And then there's so many resources on the internet that the kids can find. I guess because I'm kind of passionate about kids getting into it. My eldest son he's a little bit too much of a teenager to want to be out with dad at the moment. But
before he was coding Lua and Python.
Yeah, so he's done a lot of game jams with me and games programming. But without any encouragement from me whatsoever, the way he's got into it, like me, was he was playing games and he wanted to add his own levels to the games.
Yeah.
And so he started designing his own levels and then he's moved on to adding scripts, right?
Yeah.
So scripting out AIs into that. And that's how my early beginnings was looking at other people's code and adapting it rather than just starting with necessarily a blank canvas.
Right.
And then from there, then you get that nice feeling. You're doing something you want to do. And then you can move maybe onto something, maybe your own game, your own app. So don't necessarily get too hung up on highfalutin programming concepts. Just, you know, go in and script something, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, this has been really fun talking. And so thank you a lot, Sean and Phil. This was great.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.